today on the Balance Babe podcast. I am so excited for you guys to listen to this one. I am joined by one of my really good friends and an amazing expert in the dating and relationship world, Laura. She has so much powerful knowledge into neural reprogramming, getting over your trauma and not defining yourself by it anymore. And also, we're going to dive into relationships and really the relationship with yourself around body image, intimacy, and yeah, it's going to be good. I also want to mention a trigger warning. We do touch on suicide, sexual assault, and some other triggering topics, including eating disorders. So if you are someone that does not want to listen to that, then I would just skip this episode. But otherwise, I'm so excited for you to hear the raw and honest vulnerability and also be able to take away some different tools that you can use in your toolbox to help you work through some stuck emotions. So without further ado, enjoy this episode.
I'll cut it out, but like, that would be so funny. Like,
so funny.
Like, we're getting raw and real, and then you talk about like sex or something. And
yeah. You're just stripped open, like all your vulnerabilities are out there, and you're just like, oh man, that'd be so dope.
All right, part two.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, welcome to the Balanced Babe podcast. Today, we are joined by one of my favorite people in the world. She is a dating and relationship expert, Laura Patricia Martin. I will let you go take the floor and talk about what you do, and we will get into our questions and our convo.
Oh, hi, cutie patooties. I'm so excited to be here. Like Avery said, my name is Laura Patricia Martin. I am the creator and founder of this movement called the Pre-Housewife Era, and I help women, high-performing women, step into their season of receiving and setting their life up to be the wife and the mother that they want, starting from femininity and healing their trauma. I specialize in trauma and somatic attachment therapy, so helping them dismantle their masculine shield so they can actually feel safe to be in their feminine and, you know, moving from this me focused, which is a lot of the high performer way, into this we focused, and how do I focus on the relationship? On top of that is the automation and marketing side of things. So, I believe men and marketing are the same fucking thing. And so when you move into, you know, marketing, it's flirting. And when you're flirting, it's about marketing. And so blending those two so that my clients can actually set up their businesses for motherhood, for dating, for wifehood, for all that kind of stuff, using automation, using organic marketing, and really giving that space and that freedom that we ultimately came into this whole journey of life to have. Love and freedom and space and stuff.
Amazing. I love it. I've already learned so much from Laura just by knowing her. And I know you've had quite the journey coming into what you do now and where you've come from. So can you share a little bit more about that and a little insight into your health too?
Yeah. So I started my first business was a complete accident because I made a shitstorm of my life. And after my mom an accidental addiction death, but my mom unexpectedly passed away when I was 22 years old, and I didn't know what to do, and my life had been a shitstorm. I was raped when I was 19 and watched my parents go through this nasty battle and like basically lost both of my parents and had to raise myself and be on my own since I was 16. And after losing my mom, I was like, I am out of here. Like, I'm out. And so I ran away to Asia thinking I would find myself, but that's not how trauma is. I ended up losing myself in drugs and alcohol and dating a drug dealer and getting lost in domestic violence and almost losing my life and having these chronic illnesses that stemmed from the shitstorm that was my life. And there was this moment when I was 24 years old where I was about to take my life and something came through me that was like, this is not for me. Like, this is so the generational trauma stops with me. And for some reason, my butt got off that floor and got the help that I needed. And people saw me get sober. They saw me get healthy and they wanted to know what I wanted to do. I invested in like IIN and like doing these things. And they were like, can I pay you to teach me how to do that? And I was like, Yeah. And then because I didn't have healthy friends, I just started coordinating these events of like healthy people at co-working spaces. And that took off. And, you know, I just started to be like, hey, I don't have friends in this space. Let me just make the groups that I want to belong to, kind of like what I'm doing here. Let me just make the things that I want to do so that I don't have to look for it. And it all took off. And it was honestly a trauma response business. And that's why I kept being ill. And like, even though I, you know, got clean and got out of that relationship, I was then addicted to my business and addicted to the success and addicted to the hustle. And I didn't want to be alone. And I was working these like 18-hour days, and it just really hit a wall. And then the pandemic hit, and I was like, I have all the success. Like, I have sold out places with hundreds of people. I'm in magazines. I can literally leave my house and make a sale. Like, it was so easy. And I was like, all this is useless. Like, it really is. Like, I thought, you know, money, sex, power, health, like, I thought it would somehow give me something, and it didn't. And so 3 weeks later, I randomly boarded a flight back to America to start over, and I found my way into studying trauma and somatic attachment therapy and love. And, you know, I originally went to college to be a sex therapist. So it all came full circle into what I now do. And, you know, I still use all of that stuff, but I didn't feel lit up by the health stuff anymore. I felt lit up by just love and like power and money and like marketing and letting women that have been through traumatic experiences feel very comfortable and confident being in their body and being seen and being seen in their authority. And so it's an accident. Like, I just say it all the time. I'm like, I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I just really messed up my life and become passionate about learning from the best experts in the world about what makes people the most extraordinary people. And then I just continue to share it, and people just keep wanting to pay me. So I just keep doing it. I don't know.
I absolutely love that. And I want to take a step back and kind of go back in time a little bit to that point and that rock bottom. And maybe there was multiple, but where was that time in your life, and what was going through your mind? What was your health like, and how did you realize that? Like, I know you said something came over you when you were 24, but what did you do after that point? And yeah, tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so the moment that things started to shift, right, my first like actual deep rock bottom when I was 24, I was so small. Like, I was terrified of food because I had an eating disorder since I was 15. And then the health craze came on, and I just called it healthy, even though it was deeply orthorexic. And, you know, on top of that, I was doing cocaine 4 days a week, and I was obsessively drinking, and my step count was minimum 31,000. Like, I was not okay. And I was in a very abusive relationship, like physically and mentally abusive relationship. That moment when I was 24, I was at his place, and we had just had a physical altercation, and I just couldn't do it anymore. But I have a segment in my journal that I actually still remember. It's like from 2000, I don't know what year it was. I want to say 2013, but I literally don't know times. Literally, it just confuses me. But I was young. I was 22 and 24. And I wrote in the journal, like, I just hope the next strike he lays against me is the one that takes my life, because I don't have the strength in me to walk away. Like, I physically felt addicted to this person, and I couldn't understand why. Later, went through the 12 steps, went through Al-Anon, understood deep, deep codependency and trauma bonds. That's what it does to the brain and the body. And I don't know, when I was sitting on that balcony, it was just the thought of having someone tell my brother that I was also dead after his best friend had committed suicide, and then my mom died from addiction. It was just one of those things that it was like, I can't, like, it's not for me. I didn't choose to live for myself, but it was just one of those things where it was just like, okay, it's for that. And then all of a sudden this shock came through my body of like, it's for my daughter, like my future daughter that I don't have. Like, I'm 24. I don't have kids. Like, I don't know. It was just like, and I'm supposed to speak on stages, but I don't know. It just, for some reason, shook me alive. And so the next day I called my friend Emma, and I went to a coffee shop with her, and we sat down, and she looked at me, and she was like, finally, because all my friends knew, just how do you talk to someone about that? Right? Like, it was just, it was hard. But so she looked at me and grabbed my hand and was just like, okay, why don't you go learn about food? Like, you're terrified of food. Like, you're a horrible, like, I was horrible to be around at that time because everything was terrifying. And she was like, you have like, why don't you go learn about it instead of fearing it? And so I enrolled in IIN and I just started to learn about food. And although I wasn't regulated, so then I became wildly obsessed with it. So it wasn't healthy either. But hey, it gave me this sense of purpose. And
can you share this example that you told me a little bit ago about when you were out at dinner? And I think you said you like didn't bring your food.
Oh, I literally would just like bring a jar of smoothie. That, yeah. I literally, like, I was a nightmare. But that was when I was in IIN, because then I was studying all these different methods. And I was like, oh, okay, like, this is healthy. I'm doing the whatever cleanse I was on that freaking week. And I would just try all these things. And I'm like, why isn't this working? And I eventually got to this state in my health where I had eliminated 13 different food groups. I was doing fasting. I was doing these hormonal things. I was trying so many liver cleanses and all this stuff. I was in my naturopathic medicine. And I remember she sat me down and she was like, do you want to talk about how your trauma is related to this? And I literally looked at her and I was like, what trauma? And she was like, are you kidding me? I was just like, no, what do you mean? At that time, wasn't ready, but she planted a seed. But yeah, it was like, I would go to dinners and we're at these like Indian restaurants or like Italian restaurants. And I just pull out my little jar of smoothie and I'm like, I'm fine. Like, and my friends are like, you are not fine. Like, you're just, but like, what are you going to say to me? Right? Like, I was so headstrong that like what I was doing was right. And I didn't think anything was wrong because it's health in the name of health. And that was just my next addiction was orthorexia, right? Like, it's just this like fear of actual things. My friends are like, go eat a freaking burger. And I was like, I can't. Garlic. Like, I don't know. Like, I would make up so many things. And I was lost in it. I was so lost.
I relate to that a little bit about like when you first start to dive into the science, it's like, it's so overwhelming. It's like, what do you believe? Let me try everything. Let me eliminate everything. It's like, this is my problem. Let me cut that out. And it becomes, like you said, kind of an addiction. And in my experience, I think a lot of my stuff stems from like perfectionism and wanting to control because I can't. It's hard for me to let go of things. And so it comes out in all these different ways. But yeah. And so let's dive into that some more. So how were you able to recognize that you maybe had a problem? What did that look like?
Yeah. Ooh, how did I stop? I knew, like, it got to the point, my health, like, it's vanity one, to be honest, because I knew there was a problem because I hadn't had a period in 5 years. And so it took me 6 years to actually get a full cycle back. But I hadn't had a period and in 5 years. And I was like, oh, I want children in my life. Like, if anyone knows me, I want kids. And I'm like, I want kids. Like, I need to start looking at this. And all my friends are like, well, you need to gain weight. And I was like, I am fine. Girl, you are 95 pounds. What the hell do you mean? Like, it was just like in my head, I was like, I'm fine. And so I would like try and put on like a little bit of weight, but then I would freak out. And the thing that happened is because I was stuck in fight or flight for at this point, 5 fucking years, this rash started when I was backpacking in Sri Lanka by myself. And it started on my chin. Like, I had like a cut that something happened. And I was like, oh, dang, okay, whatever. And me being a freaking hippie, I'm like, let me just rub it in the ocean and like clean it. And like, I didn't pay attention to it. And I just have all these photos of this chin thing happening. And then all of a sudden something happened on my back and it started to grow and grow and grow. And it took over my entire body. But because I was teaching health, I never spoke about it. I didn't get that much help for it because I was like, I have so much shame around this. But because it was hidden underneath my clothes, I was like, I'm fine. I just won't go in a bikini. I lived in Bangkok at the time. I was always in a bit. Like, I'm like, okay, we're just going to avoid the beach. Like, what do you mean? And so I'm covered in this like rash and my entire body and all this stuff. And it's not that it was painful or anything. It's just, it's uncomfortable and it's dry and we don't know what it is. And so on the back end, I'm doing this stuff. I'm eliminating more foods because I think it has to be some type of hidden food and all this stuff. And I go in this cycle. And it was just a head spin. And then it went up my armpit. And then I was giving a speech. Actually, the photo I shared on my story today, in that speech, it was my birthday. I was 25, maybe 26. I don't remember exactly. One of my birthdays. And it came up on my face in vanity one. I was like, I can't beat this anymore. Like, it's been months this has been going on. And I'm like, okay, I surrender. I went back to my naturopath and I was like, you planted a seed about trauma. And I worked in gut brain connection. I knew how this was related. Like, I knew all these things. I just didn't want to slow down and stop and look at my shit. And so I did that. And then they're like, you have to gain weight. You have to start eating meat. You have to start doing these things. And I was like, everything around me was just an ego death. I was like, fine. Like, it's my last thing because I'm dying. Like, I'm literally, my body is eating itself right now. I don't have a period. My mental health is not okay. I'm suicidal on the back end. Like, all this stuff is happening. And I'm like, I quit. Like, you guys do it. You show me what to do. And that was my next knees on. I mean, there's plenty of knees on the floor moments in my life, but that was my next one.
You mentioned your naturopath said you need to eat meat. Were you vegetarian or vegan at this point?
Yeah, I had been. So I was a vegan. College-ish time, and then I was a vegetarian, and then in Asia it's kind of hard, like I had to add fish back in because they put fish oil and everything, and so I had fish, and then I was like, okay, and then like one day my body was just like craving meat, and I was like, okay, clearly my ovaries need to do it. And it took a long time for me to like get around it, but I would like start with like a bite of steak and I'm like, okay, that counts.
Better than nothing. But you should start small. You shouldn't go from like veganism to eating carnivore diet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow. And then, I mean, as over the years, as you've learned more about yourself and dealt with your trauma, I know a lot of what you teach is somatic healing. So can you talk a bit about that and which tools specifically have helped you the most and maybe some things that you recommend my audience to try for themselves?
So somatic healing, somatic is soma, soma's body. So the way trauma is I have spent, since I was 13, I've been in therapy and I have talked and talked and talked about my shit for so long. And I was over it. I was like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm getting hung up and triggered about my exes. I'm getting pissed about my parents. I mean, like, I leave these things being like, I'm now triggered and want to call my ex. So that wasn't helpful because I didn't feel that before coming here. And like, that's what it does. And then you're like, I guess I'm just fucked. Like, I guess that's just it. And I felt that for my entire life, which is why I had suicidal ideation and all this stuff going on. And it wasn't until I started to actually look at what is trauma. Trauma is when your body, an emotion freezes in your body and that gets trapped. And so I had to really process and release things from my body. And it was a very ugly process because I had been through rape, domestic violence, drug and alcohol abuse, loss, all the things that I have walked through. It was like there was so much trapped. And I started to realize all the things I knew about myself, my personality traits, the way that I was, my perfectionism, my control, my anger that I had so much anger. I thought I was asexual. I thought I hated men. I thought I was fucking a lesbian for a while. Like, I thought all these things were in my life. And I was like, oh, all of this is just protection mechanisms because my body's trying to train and learn and heal and protect. And so once I started to unfreeze these things with the help of lots of experts and undo this from my body, I was able to actually be safe and actually be in my feminine and actually soften and open my heart and be okay in every situation. And, you know, it's scary. Like, it's a thing that you don't, like, we often think like, oh, if I just journal, or if I just forget about it, or if I just work enough, or if my body looks a certain way, or if I make enough money, like all this stuff will go away. And I did all that, right? Like, I chased the body, didn't work, chased the money, didn't work, chased love, didn't work. I was left with me. And so I was like, okay, let me feel this. And so I went into somatics. I studied under some of the best in the world and really got into the nitty gritty of this so that I can go through it personally. Again, I did everything for me and then just kind of shared it. And then people were like, teach me. And then now I do that with clients where it's like, I walk them through that. So I do that. I pair that kind of with EMDR and like meditations and hypnosis stuff. So you can actually, yes, your body needs to feel safe and go through that process. And at the same time, your brain needs to shift its neural pathways. So your brain is going one way. You can think of it like a jungle. Your brain has been firing and wiring for how it was for me for 15 years, one way. And so through like EMDR, repetition, expanders, getting out in the arena, really selecting the environments that you're in, your brain starts to see a new pathway and you basically are coming in with a machete and like chopping it down so that then your brain does fire and wire. Like, that's the joy of neuroplasticity. And so I dove deep into that stuff to completely change my entire life. It's kind of wild.
I absolutely love that. And I mean, you're just a walking like image of that, like the amount of work that you've done and just being around you and seeing how your brain works and how if something comes up for you, you have all these tools in your toolbox to process it. And then you come back the next day and you're like, I'm great. That sucks, but we're good. Through it. And it's just, it's so cool to see that. So, and so let me ask you this. If I'm someone that is just starting out, maybe I'm struggling with consistency, with healthy habits, when maybe I know I have some trauma that I need to deal with, what is a good practice or a couple practices that I can do to help work through or start to work through those emotions?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is take note of your triggers. A lot of us run through this life. This is literally what started the pre-housewife era, because a lot of us live in this era of red flags and wanting to avoid our triggers. And let me tell you how you need to act, because I've been through trauma, so let me protect my trigger, versus take note of what is triggering you when you're out, when your partner says something, when a food, we do this in food, right? Write down the foods that trigger you. I do this at life, where it's like when something triggers me, even say I'm with you guys. Like when we had the girls' Thanksgiving, right? I had a deep belonging wound that came up. And so I just noted it down on my phone. I don't have to fucking deal with it right there. I'm just like, okay, cool. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to do a daily vitamin, which is my coined terms for these like EMDR, neuroplasticity, neural reprogramming things. And then I go and work with it. So instead of a lot of us either get very invested in the trigger right away, where it's like, I'm triggered. We have to settle this right now. I need to stop working. I need to do this. I need to focus. And it's like, girl, stop. Or my audience is like the super high achievers and you have the same audience. It's like, let's forget that existed, because that doesn't make me feel powerful and what have you. But then it's running your whole life. So what I like to do is just note it in your phone. Just make a little pin section, note section on your phone, and write down what the trigger is. So then later at night, you can actually do the work that needs to be done and do some neural reprogramming around that, do some somatic releasing, whether that's honestly just like stretching your hips, screaming into a pillow. I fucking love screaming in my car. It's my favorite thing. Whether that's like a deep cry to actually feel things, like your body needs to release it so it doesn't run the show. But just start by taking note and tracking your triggers, just becoming aware of, ooh, I'm feeling something.
Yeah.
Note it down.
Exactly. And I think a big thing is just giving yourself the space to feel those emotions, because especially with the women that we typically work with, like high performers, we are busy. Like we have a lot of things going on. It's like, oh, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for those emotions. But really, that's what we need to do to heal. And like setting aside time, maybe it's in the morning or at night, to meditate and journal and really, like, as you said, write down in your phone triggers that come up throughout your day. And so then when you have the time, creating that time to feel through those things. And sometimes it's in the moment. If I feel like something coming up in my body, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do a meditation or put some music on and just dance and shake it out. You know, it's so crazy how quickly you can transmute that energy and then just kind of release it. And you don't have to overthink it either. I think that's what I used to do. Being an overthinker or a healing overthinker, any trigger that I would notice, I'd be like, oh, I have to heal that. Like, I have to fix that about myself, instead of just acknowledging it and letting it go. You know, it doesn't have to be so complicated too. So exactly. I think one of the things that I love about you is you are able to, you don't identify with your past. You don't have this big narrative. You're detached from any past narratives, and you're constantly redefining your reality and, you know, all of that. So I just think that's
I'm delusional, baby. That's what we do.
that's the way we should be. And, you know, like, you're able to completely navigate through anything on your own without relying on anyone too, which is also powerful. And fully taking responsibility for your emotions. And it's not your partner, it's not your friends, your family, it's none of that. It's our responsibility. So I think that's beautiful. And like the work that you're doing, the tools that you're teaching other women is like, and that even I've learned from knowing you, is just so powerful. So I absolutely love that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is when you move out of the victim role, because for a long time, I'm blaming everyone. I'm blaming my parents. I'm blaming friends. I'm blaming money. I'm blaming my body. I'm blaming all these things. And I'm like, wait, I'm the common denominator in all of these. So how about I do something about that? And I do think there's that like twisted sword. And my friends always have to remind me of this, of like, not everything is your fault, Laura. Like, not like people have their own things. And I am very heavy in the part of like, but I attracted this and I do this. Like I do have that flaw because I am in this space where I'm like, well, I attracted this. Therefore I want to shift this. And that's how this is. And that's how that is. And it's like, my friends do have to bring me back to reality sometimes. And they're like, people also have their stuff and you can be the teacher for them. Like, it's not like always a bad thing. And I think, you know, it's a double-edged sword for sure, but it has showed me a lot in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one other thing that I want to talk about today is around body image and how to accept yourself, and going back to that, like accepting where you're at, but also taking responsibility and like being able to not become a victim to your current circumstances, your current health, and taking action to change. So can you talk a little bit about that as far as accepting where you're at, loving yourself where you're at, but also, you know, being able to navigate through that so you can reach the next level and continue your healing?
Yeah. So there was a lot of, because I had an eating disorder for honestly majority of my time alive, I've had an eating disorder that, yay, we're healed. But one day you guys are going to heal. Like if you actually do the right trauma work and things like that, like I promise you, you will heal so much that you forget the war against your body was ever a thing. Like if everyone in the world could feel how I feel, it's mind blowing because I didn't think that was possible. But in the heat of it, when my body was literally eating itself and I had to gain 45 pounds, and I know I'm a small person now, but still that's a lot of weight to have to put on. Yeah. And then being like, sure, look at me naked, like this is fine, and like being intimate with men and my partners and like needing to be confident. And when it comes to like that body, you can't fake it till you make it. Like I would fucking love it. And I used, like old, my old posts, I used to fucking say that shit all the time. It's not true. It is not true. Like sometimes you can't fake that stuff. I think it's just the true surrender of what helped me, especially my weight gain stage. Like I look back at even now, like the videos that I'm sharing where it's like 3 years ago and what have you, I had to gain like an extra, honestly, like 50, like I was up there and like walking, I was like, this is not my normal size and I hate it, but I had to keep reminding myself it's for the sake of my babies in the future. Like I had to gain the healthy weight. I had to gain certain things. My body had to do these things and I had to just sit in it for a second being like, this is just temporary. Just like when I talk about my 90-day pushes in work, I'm like, you're only being a savage for 90 days so you can have the rest of your lifetime off. So for me, I'm like, you just got to be a little bit chunky for a little bit so you can have the rest of your life being okay, you know? And I say this all the time where I'm like, I already went through the health stuff. Like I can eat whatever I want. I could do whatever I want. Like, and that is really nice because I sacrificed what my image was for a little bit. And I did what I could. I went to get massages. I made sure I was having like daily orgasms. I was with a partner at the time and I would literally just like stand there and like, he would like touch my bits and I hated it, but it, also, he loved me so much that I tried to borrow the way that he saw me. Mm-hmm. And little things like that, I really started to try and be naked more and just be in front of my mirror more and like being like, this is what we got for now. Like, do I really want to spend the next few months hating myself, or can I figure out a way to just be like, this is what we got. I don't fucking love it. Like, or I don't like it, but like, I love it. It's me. Like it's my body. So how can I just learn to love it versus liking it? It's okay if I don't like it. Can I just be aware of my conversation with it? Can I buy something that makes me feel better versus trying to fit into my old clothes when I was a size zero? Like throw that shit away. That's never going to be who you are anymore. It's okay. You don't want to be because you want babies. Like it's just kind of looking at that long-term vision and being okay that like it sucks. It does. And like, I don't think that's like what we're supposed to say. We're supposed to say like, hurrah. Like, no, it does fucking suck when you know your body is supposed to be doing something different and it's supposed to look a different way. And you're supposed to feel like we are an aesthetically driven fucking society. It's just where we fucking live and it's just who we are. And so just sitting there and being like, I fucking surrender, man. Like long-term vision, it's not forever. Let me just do the best I can with the tools that I'm given. And then when I get healthy, I could do whatever the fuck I want and be a savage and experiment with things. But like right now, the focus is being healthy and babies. Like, it's just long term.
Yeah. And that's a good point too. It's like, I think in this society, we think, oh, we need to lose weight, we need to look skinnier to be healthy. But in your experience and so many other women that I talk to, it's about gaining the weight and listening to your body's signs. Like, you didn't have a period for years. Like, mm-hmm. that's a sign your body was under chronic stress. And so, and vitamin, mineral deficient, all the things. So it just goes to show, like, we have to be okay. And I always say this, it's like, we want to be healthy, but we want to look a certain way. We all want to look a certain way. That's why I got into weightlifting, because I wanted to build a booty and have abs. But along the way, I realized and I learned to love myself more. And I was like, okay, when I get to that point where I feel amazing internally, then that's when I know, like, I'm okay with whatever I look like. Mm. And I pair that with like lab work and things like that in my life. But I don't look at the mirror and say, oh, I don't have a six pack yet. Oh, I have cellulite. Oh, I have this. It's like, okay, how do I feel? How are my energy levels? How is my period? How's my skin? How's my digestion? All these other metrics of health are way more important to me than looking skinny, because as you know, it's not worth it. You know? Mm.
I also did this trick. You know how everyone writes in their journals, like, I'm making $10,000 today. I'm making $20,000, like that. I literally brainwashed myself. And my friend Steph yelled at me about this, and I probably shouldn't say it, but it worked. I would trick myself into believing that I was a weight loss patient and that I just lost 30 pounds versus gaining 30 pounds, because those people are so happy and they don't care what their size is because they lost weight. So I tricked my brain and I was like, we've just lost 30 pounds. And I literally brainwashed myself.
Wait, what? So you
so you know people that are like 250 pounds, right? Yeah. And they're like, I need to lose weight, otherwise something's gonna happen. Yeah. And so then I sat there and I was like, what if I was one of those people and this is now what my body looks like, and I was just on The Biggest Loser and I lost this much weight, how would I be treating my body? And I was like, bitch, you'd be so happy. And so I literally would like brainwash myself. I'm like, we just won The Biggest Loser, like this is what happened. And I like brainwashed myself to come to terms with the fact that I was like, I don't know why it worked, but like it was one of those things where I was like, if I had just lost 50 pounds, how would I feel about my body right now? Versus I had to gain 50 pounds. And I was like, but if I just lost 50 pounds, wouldn't I be fucking dope? And I'm like, both of them, I'm doing this for a healthy reason. I just had to like switch my mindset where I was just like, lost 50 pounds. I don't know, because we are in a weight loss culture. Like, I couldn't, we can't get over that aspect that is our societal norm. And so I'm just like, what if I just switched my reality? Again, I'm fucking delusional. Like, I'm really good at being delusional.
it worked. I mean, it worked. What you were doing was like envisioning, like manifesting or envisioning how you wanted to feel. And in exactly. those moments, you feel grateful and like successful and happy and all that because you're able to.
Yeah, I was like, we're doing something healthy. Like, this makes me feel good. Like, I'm confident. And I was just like, I would be wearing crop tops. I would be doing this. And I was like, yeah, we just lost 50 pounds. I would make my ex get on board with it.
Oh my God. It's like reverse the scales of negative and
positive. Exactly. I was like, I don't know why, but like, they love their bodies. And like, they don't care about the size. Like, their size is still bigger than what mine was. And I was like, and they're fucking in their crop tops and they're like flaunting and they're doing their things. And I was like, I'm going to look back on the time period of my life and what I missed being hot because I had this mindset. And I was like, they can do it. I can do it. Let's go.
I love that. Well, whatever works for you. And, you know, hopefully that gives you guys some ideas. Creative ideas. You got plenty of tips to take with you. And I think it's always important to like sit. What I love to do is meditate and visualize. So visualize exactly how you would feel in that moment in the future when you are your healthiest self. And what does your morning routine look like? Like, what kinds of conversations are you having? Like, what kinds of meals are you preparing? Like, all that is so, so powerful. And yeah, just continually doing that and visualizing. So I love that. And I think we'll wrap up here. But thank you so much, Laura, for all of that insight and being so vulnerable and honest as always. And where can my audience find you and learn more?
On my Instagram, which is, I don't know what I was doing right there. For anyone watching the video, I was like dancing like a ballerina and then forgot to answer. My Instagram is, it's Laura Patricia Martin. So @ITS, Laura Patricia Martin, and all the goodies are over there. I love my content. So go peruse and have a little play sesh.
She's got the best energy always. So I recommend the follow. And yeah, thank you guys for listening so much. If you want to learn more, again, reach out to it's Laura Patricia Martin on Instagram. I'm at Aligned by Avery. So I will leave you with that and talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so, so much for listening today. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If there's anything that stood out to you or that resonated with you, I would love to hear more. Please send me a DM on Instagram @AlignedByAvery. And if you would be so kind to rate my podcast, The Balanced Babe, on Apple Music or Spotify, it would mean the world to me. So again, please give me a rating, send me a DM, would love to hear your thoughts, and I'll see you on the next episode.